as a summary, to give a very specific provincial focus towards the end of the presentation. And Chair, if there's a need, then I can certainly work through that. Alternatively, members can then ask questions and we will address those. If we then work through the presentation that we have in front of you or on the board, and I'll refer to slide 3, and just look at our agenda today. Our agenda, we would focus on an overview of Eskom and the financial performance of the financial year 2010-2011. We'll talk a little bit about our Eskom triple bottom line. We prepare this report as an integrated report. It's an integrated report both in terms of our socio-economic impact, our environmental issues, as well as the financial aspects of the business. So this is an integrated report. It is actually prepared in terms of the global standards around reporting, and I'll go through that triple bottom line. We'll talk about the results of the operations of the business, the financial position of Eskom with specific reference to the cash flows and the funding of the company, and I'll briefly go through the operating highlights for each of the divisions and give some outlook, which is the financial year that we've ended, March 2012. From that perspective, I think between Dan and I, although we're still going through our audit committees to finalize our new year results, we can give you some sense of what the outcome of those results are. If we go to slide 5, which looks at the overview for the last financial year, really if we look at Eskom for the year ending March 2011, we've had no load shedding in South Africa since April 2008. Despite the fact that we are managing an energy system that is very constrained. And I must say that we are managing it actually quite well, compared even to global standards. The country has not seen any load shedding due to the shortage of power generation in South Africa. There has been interruptions throughout the country. All of them has been due to local issues in distribution, either in Eskom distribution or municipal distribution. We have also initiated a campaign called 49M, and you'll see in the bottom of each slide our logo, and it's really calling on all South Africans, all 49 million South Africans, and as we count, we most probably will end up at 50 million, into a campaign to educate South Africans around the importance of saving electricity and make sure that we create in our country a culture of energy efficiency. We must also remember in this financial year, we hosted the World Cup. And from where we were in 2008 and everything that we prepared for the World Cup over a two-year period has been significant in not only our achievement, but the country's achievement in hosting a very successful World Cup. And the Eskom teams has done exceptionally well as far as that is concerned. Subsequent to that, we also hosted COP17 and used the same models that we have developed in managing the power system for both events quite successfully, and those models have also now been shared around the world. One of the key things for us that remains a major concern for us in terms of our performance has been the performance around safety, industrial safety. It remains a big concern, and even up until today and going forward remains a significant primary focus area for Eskom. On the financial side, this year of performance has been 2 years of very strong financial performance results where Eskom have posted surpluses, and it's very important that all of these surpluses, we reinvest it fully in our expansion to fund our expansion program on behalf of the country. We've had very strong support from the South African government, explicit support, and not just implicit support, but explicit support. We have received a loan from the government of 60 billion rand, which at this financial year we have fully received from government, and also government guarantees. And really Eskom has moved from a position where it had no funding plan in place to a position where by the end of these results we had put a funding plan in place to fund all our expansion for the next 7 years. As we stand today, that plan has not only been put in place, it's been executed substantially. And I'll give an update on that. In the last financial year, we also had the first time where we had participation from independent power producers in the power system. And they played a role in the power system in producing electricity. We've reached a significant milestone in that we've electrified, since inception in 1991, 4 million households in the country. Currently, this program today stands as a global benchmark of what countries can do around energy access and electricity access. The point I'd like to note is that as a country, we have yet not achieved universal access, and it is something that we need to focus on. We have a massive expansion program, and that's now on track. And in the last financial year, of all our discretionary spend, we have committed 42 billion rand has been spent on companies that is broad-based, black economic empowered. That's most probably the largest amount of commitment to black economic empowerment by any company in the country. If we look at slide 6, in terms of us as a company, we're 100% state-owned. We supply 95% of all the electricity used in the country and more than 40% of everything used on the continent. Eskom is the largest utility on the African continent, and we employed over 41,000 people. We serve a whole range of customers, and if you look at the pie diagram, the majority of our sales goes to what we call redistributors or municipalities. So 40.8% of our sales goes to municipalities, 27% goes to industry. The next big category is mining, 14.4%, and a small portion of our sales goes to residential customers. Although residential customers are the largest number of our customers, they contribute the smallest amount of revenue from our perspective. We operate South Africa and the continent's only nuclear power station. We operate 27 power stations with a maximum capacity of over 41,000 megawatts, making us amongst OECD countries the 10th largest utility in the world. Our sales for the last financial year has been 224,000 gigawatt hours at a revenue of 90.4 billion rand. And that is up from about 70 billion rand the previous year. We have a massive transmission and distribution infrastructure. We have a committed build program on 17,000 megawatts, of which we've already concluded and completed 5,200. And Eskom has got a credit rating that's very important for us, of investment grade rating, with a stable outlook from both Moody's and Standard & Poor's. And at the bottom of that chart, we can see that most of our power generation is coal-based, because that's the basis of which we've built not only the company, but also our South African economy. And we have a very small portion that's wind, a small portion that is gas, nuclear, and then we do have some hydro and some pumped storage schemes as well. So that's the company in terms of a glance. On slide 7, we look at just some of the highlights in each of these different areas. In securing our energy supply, I've spoken about the load shedding. By the end of the financial year, our reserve margin was just under 15%, and that is really where we would wish to maintain that. Although, from our perspective, it is not adequate because that only measures the peak reserve margin. We rather look at the adequacy of our generation plant. Our strategic plans for securing supply has been developed for the next 3 years. It's been communicated to the country. Every quarter, I have a public communication around the state of the power system. We talk about what has happened in the previous quarter. We talk about what's happening in the next quarter. The Minister of Public Enterprises joins me in that. We issue weekly statements to the South African public. And even today, we can on Twitter or Facebook see the state of the power system. So all of those plans are in place, and we're busy developing that. In terms of our capacity expansion, last year we spent 55.5 billion rand on capital. Our first Medupi unit is expected by the end of next year. We have announced that in Parliament. Our Kusile first unit will come online by the end of 2014. And for the last year, we commissioned 315 megawatts of new capacity, 400 kilometers of high voltage transmission lines, and quite a lot of transformer capacity within South Africa. For our financial years, in terms of our financial performance, our surplus for the year has been 8.4 billion rand, up from 3.6 billion rand, of which 100% of that we put back into the business. The tariffs in the country has been moving towards cost-reflective levels. Our funding plan has been advanced, and we have secured of that funding plan 70% of our total funding. And we have only one of the last two commodity link agreements in place that remains to be negotiated, and that's pricing agreements with the smelters, and there's one left that needs to be renegotiated. Everything else has been renegotiated. Around the safety, we had 6 employee fatalities for the financial year, 18 contractor fatalities, and public fatalities, 43. I'll come to the causes of those, but safety remains and continues to remain in our business a significant area of focus. If we look at the regulatory changes in the last financial year, we have seen South Africa approve the Integrated Resource Plan that outlines the country's power supply needs and requirements over the next 20 years. We've also seen the restructuring of the distribution industry be revoked, and Eskom keeps its distribution and municipalities theirs. We have seen the announcement around the Independent System Market Operator to facilitate the introduction of independent power producers in the electricity system. We have ring-fenced that function within Eskom to buy power from IPPs. We've also seen the increase in the environmental levy without an increase in electricity tariffs by 5 cents from the 1st of April. In terms of our support for the National Development Plan, the contracts that we have entered into for our bulk program for last year, 79% of those contracts has been allocated to South African entities. It's very important for us that we make sure that we support local industry development. By the end of that year, we had 5,283 learners in our pipeline and bursars that we developed for our own need in Eskom. We now really focus on how do we make sure that we deal with continued skills development and economic empowerment. I have spoken about the support from the shareholder, the 60 billion subordinated loan that we've, by the end of the financial year, fully received, and 350 billion rand of guarantees, where government has extended our guarantees in that year of 174 billion rand. We've committed of the 350 billion rand, we've only used 106 billion rand of that towards guarantees. The next few slides just deals with a little bit of a more detail of our business, our capacity. The system demand for the last year, the peak national demand was 36,600 megawatts, and our capacity was just, as I said, over 41,000 megawatts. We have 4.6 million customers, not 4.6 billion customers. Most of them are residential customers, and the rest of our customer base, as I said, are in the industrial, mining, and commercial area, with municipalities making up a big part of that. We have presence throughout South Africa and all the provinces, and we have a staff complement on the next slide of, as I said, just under over 41,000 people. Most of our people are in our generation and distribution businesses. A distribution that's spread throughout the country and generation that operates the power stations. On the demand side, we drive a very large demand side management program. Last year, we've seen savings of 354 megawatts in terms of saving of energy demand in the country. We have spent 545 million rand in achieving that, and of that, 225 million rand on rolling out solar water heating in the country. The electrification connections for the last year that was done was 124,000 at a cost of 1.6 billion rand, and the planned connections, as has also been laid out there. I must say to the committee that the latest results is that we significantly exceeded the planned electrification connections in the last financial year. Free basic electricity, which is very important. The municipalities identify indigent in terms of the communities, and then we configure that as Eskom. 99% of everybody that the municipalities has defined has been configured on our system to receive free basic electricity. And across the whole country, we see only 74% of our customers that is entitled to it actually collecting free basic electricity from that perspective. Energy losses is a big concern for us. This is theft of electricity, primarily. It ranges in some places from 14% to over 80%. And there's a whole social marketing campaign that's been launched, Operation Kanyisa, throughout the country to deal with that. One of the key issues around debt for us is still Soweto in South Africa, and that is still a key issue for us. Municipal debt, we manage that very closely, and we have seen some improvement in that regard by the end of the financial year, and we are working with the different provinces in that regard. The regulator, when it approved Eskom's last tariff, also implemented what they called an inclining block tariff. And this is really a tariff that was designed to protect low-income households. But what we have seen in some areas that it has got an unintended consequence in that a lot of our communities, because this, the way this tariff works is the more you use, the more you pay. And we find high usages, and then the community is really exposed to very high electricity costs from that perspective. It is something that the regulator designed, and all of us must apply, both Eskom municipalities, and it is something that in the new Eskom price application we will be addressing with the regulator. If we deal with the next section, and we look at our business model, our purpose as a company is set quite clearly in our provision of electricity on a sustainable basis, but Eskom exists to grow the South African economy and to make sure we improve the quality of life of people through our services. And we also believe that not only within our country we should do that, but in the broader Southern African region. And therefore it's very important that we do play a role in balancing all aspects. We have to balance our commercial aspects of, as a company, and run this as a company, focusing on customers and making sure it's financially sustainable, and adding value to the South African government as a shareholder, but we also have a developmental role to play. And our socio-economic role in terms of skills development, local industry development, electrification is very important. And then we do have quite a significant environmental impact or footprint, and therefore supporting and looking at environmental aspects is very important for us. So if we look at from a socio-economic perspective, we have done a detailed study in that financial year. And some of the indications that has been done is that 3% of South Africa's GDP can be attributed just by Eskom as a business on its own. We are a big enabler in terms of the South African economy as well as its development. A significant part of our spend goes to broad-based black economic empowerment, as I said, 42 billion rand. Job creation is a very important aspect for us, and we create direct jobs through our both projects. And that number is significant in terms of what Eskom do. And more than 50% of all our major projects' content is sourced from South Africa, within South Africa. And we make sure that we source the employment from the communities where we actually work. So over 50% of the workers on our projects come from the local communities, from 70 kilometers away from those projects. And at the same time, there's a significant skills development effort that's taking place throughout the country from that perspective. In terms of our electrification efforts, as I said, over 4 million households is a significant milestone for South Africa. 11,000 schools, quite a lot of clinics that's been electrified. Our training and development, last year we spent just under 1 billion rand on training. In the new financial year, the number will be over 1 billion rand. Our learners has been 5,283, of which the majority of them are engineers, technicians, artisans that is being trained. Our Eskom Development Foundation, 62 million rand, that's focusing on corporate social initiatives, impacting 254 organizations and 300,000 people throughout the country. From an environmental perspective, we are large water users. Our water use performance has stabilized, so for every unit of electricity we produce, we have consumed 1.34 liters of water. Our new power stations are all dry cooled, so that we reduce the water use. Our gaseous emission monitoring system has been installed. Our carbon emissions has increased because we are commissioning new coal plant. Our sulfur dioxide emissions has reduced, our nitrogen oxide emissions has increased slightly. Our relative particulate emissions has improved in terms of the performance of the previous financial year. We are working very hard in terms of our partnership around water within the country, and we have now finalized the funding for our first large-scale renewable projects, wind as well as solar. If I turn to safety, as I said, we've had six employee fatalities and 18 contractor fatalities. The majority of these are vehicle accidents happening on national roads in the country. And we had three electrical contact incidents, and on the public side, majority of them are electrical contact incidents and vehicle accidents, and electrical contact incidents are primarily due to illegal connections and electricity theft within communities from that perspective. On the financial side, the revenue for the year was 91.4 billion rand. With that, our sales of electricity has grown by 2.7%. The profit for the year after tax has been, as I said, 8.4 billion rand, giving us a return of 2.9%. The average selling price has been 40 cents, so we sell electricity on average 40 cents across all our customer base, and it cost us about 33 cents to produce electricity, per unit of electricity. Our capital has spent 55 billion rand. The average coal stock day is 41 days. That's very important, the coal stock across all our power stations. And by the end of this financial year, we had debt and on our books raised both locally and internationally of 160 billion rand. And I'll talk about that slightly later as to when we have to pay this debt back. And our debt equity ratio has been below 2 at 1.62. We have a compact with the shareholder that we enter at the beginning of every financial year. And this is the result of the compact, and you can also, the committee can see the performance over the last few years. We have a compact to make sure the provision of electricity is provided, the supply of electricity is reliable, the business of Eskom is sustainable, and that skills and procurement issues are addressed. And that is our performance against that compact. The one target that we've not achieved is the provision of electricity, the addition of new generation capacity. We're at a target of 625 megawatts. We've achieved 315. And then on the transmission lines, we were had to do 446 kilometers. We've done 443 kilometers of transmission lines. And a big impact on the transmission lines in particular has to do with access to land, buying a land to build transmission lines throughout the country. But across all of those, that is what we compacted on from the shareholder. Making sure that there's no load shedding in the country, that the light stays on, making sure that we drive the energy efficiency program in the country, that the cost of electricity is maintained, that we drive our own internal efficiency of energy, water use, how we manage our debt and equity relationship, cover the interest that we have to pay, the content in terms of the old program, our trainee and development is also very important, and we have achieved most of those KPIs for the last financial year. The next section just deals with the remuneration. This is something normally that the chairman presents and deals with. Eskom links its executive remuneration to the performance of the organization and the individual's contributions. Obviously, it's a big organization, most probably South Africa's largest company. So retaining executives is very important. This is benchmarked both locally and internationally. From our perspective, there are basic salary components and also long and short-term bonuses. Short-term to incentivize individual performance for the year, and long-term in terms of retention of members that we would wish to retain. We have implemented very clear qualifiers. We said if the lights goes out in the country, nobody should receive any bonuses, and if we don't make cost-saving targets. And for this financial year, the target was set at 2 billion rand, and that has been achieved. And that is 2 billion rand without looking at maintenance costs and making sure that we achieve the shareholder compact. And all of this is then provided and decided on by the board of Eskom. So on slide 21, as in the annual report, there are some details. In the last financial year, we have filled all our vacancies in the executive. We have looked at the increases across the executives, and from a like-to-like basis, for the last financial year, the executives' package increased by 6.6% for that financial year. On slide 22, we also deal with Eskom's reputation that is measured by an independent study by the Reputation Institute, and this we measure, and we have seen an improvement in that regard from the previous financial year as to how Eskom is perceived amongst its stakeholders. The next set of performance just deals with some of the operations, and if I can go through through the income statement, and we'll go through the key financial matrices or ratios. The Eskom sales, as I've said, has increased by 2.7%, giving us a revenue of 91.4 billion rand. The significant part of our revenue is primarily driven by the increases in electricity tariffs that we've received of 28.6%. So that is, or 24.58%, and that is really, so the revenue is primarily driven by the increase in tariffs, and in a lesser extent driven by the increase in sales. And as I said, our net profit is has gone up from 3.6 billion rand to 8.4 billion rand, and we have the embedded derivatives from that perspective, and that is the one smelter contract that we're still in the process of renegotiating with the smelters. But our income statement is, financial position has been very strong as a company. On the key performance ratios on slide 25, if we look at our free funds from operations, it is at the last financial year, the amount of cash that we generated from operations has gone up from about 2 billion rand to 17 billion rand. And what we then look at very carefully is our ratios around gross debt over EBITDA, and our free funds from operations as a gross debt. That's very important for us because that's what our rating agencies look at specifically. Our debt cover ratio has in, has stayed around 2% or 2 from that perspective. Our return on assets is just under 3%, and the return on equity for the shareholder about 11%. The revenue that, as I said earlier, the revenue that we get from selling every unit of electricity, we sell electricity on average at about 40 cents, and it costs us about 32 cents, so we have a margin. As you go back and you look at the table in 2009, you would see why we had a loss, because we were selling electricity at a price lower than what it actually cost us to produce it. Our debtors, our bad debt is a percentage of revenue. It's something that we watch very carefully, and we try and manage that number below 1%. It has been 0.75%. And our distribution debtors, 22 days. Our transmission debtors, actually our large customers, 16 days. And we've spoken about the coal stockpile. On slide 26, we provide a reconciliation as to the increase in profit, operating profit before a finance cost, from 7.4 billion to 14.5 billion. As we can see, the biggest driver is domestic tariff changes, increases in the tariff. A very small portion, 1.9 billion, due to the increase in sales, so the volumes. 1.1 billion due to the increase in our international sales. And then the primary impact has been the cost. The biggest impact has been primary energy, so increase in primary energy cost of 6.7 billion rand. Manpower cost 2 billion rand, depreciation 1.5, and the rest of our maintenance expenditure 1.5 billion rand. That reconciles the increase in operating profit, primarily driven then by the increase in tariffs. But we have seen Eskom return to profitability as a company, and that the revenue has been increasing over the last few years, giving us a profit of 8.4 billion rand from the loss of 2009 of close to 10 billion rand. The Eskom business is very seasonal. Most of our money we actually accrue in winter, in the first part of the year, because in the first part of the year our tariffs are normally higher, our maintenance costs are normally lower, and our large customers pay higher prices in winter than what they would pay in summer. So from that perspective, our first half of the year normally is where we achieve most of our financial performance. The rest of the year we break even from that perspective. We have a moratorium with our shareholder in terms of paying dividends. So we since 2008, we're not paying any dividend to the shareholder, and all the profits are reinvested back into the company. on slide 28 gives us quite a useful reconciliation of how do we derive our revenue and where our cost structures come from. So as we can see on the left hand slide, the revenue has increased over the last few years from 25 cents to 32 cents, and in this financial year 40.5 cents. And most of our cost, half of our cost, comes from primary energy. It's a coal cost. So our total cost has been about 33 cents, as we can see there on the total operating cost, of which 16 cents comes from primary energy, or primarily coal costs. Employees, 7 cents. Our depreciation and amortization expense, 3.5 cents. And other operating costs, which is essentially our maintenance costs in generation and distribution, of 6.5 cents. Giving us a profit EBITDA of about 7 cents if we want to look at it per unit of electricity sold. On the next slide, it just deals with where does the growth come from. The revenue growth is primarily, as I said, from tariff increases. Our industrial customers for this financial year has seen a tariff increase of 27%, and our residential customers has only seen an increase of 3.4%. Due to the inclining block tariffs that's been designed specifically to protect low-income households. If we look at our sales, most of it is, as we say, 80% has come from the South African tariff increases, and then 9% from volume increases. There's an increase in environmental levy, and 6% from our sales across the borders, giving us the 40.3 cents. If we look at slide 30, just deals with operating costs. Primary energy is our biggest cost item. We have spent 35.8 billion rand on primary energy at about 16 cents for every unit of electricity that we produce or sell. Our employee benefits at about 16.7 billion rand. Depreciation at 8 billion rand, and our other operating costs, primarily our maintenance costs, 12 billion rand from that perspective. On the primary energy side, the biggest portion of the increase in primary energy has to do with coal. The increase in coal, the cost of coal burn, has been 12.8% per ton. That has contributed to about a 1 cent increase from that perspective. We have the environmental levy that has contributed just under 1 cent. We then also buy electricity from independent power producers. So obviously that is new, and that is an increase. From that perspective. And then for the last financial year, we've burned just under 125 million tons of coal from that perspective. What is very important, Eskom has most probably outside of government the largest foreign currency exchange book in the country, so hedging is very important for us. So on slide 32, from a primary energy perspective, we follow We don't formally hedge our coal costs because most of them are cost-plus basis, and these are long-term contracts that we have secured. And 80% of our coal supply has been contracted and signed up to 2020 for the next 8 years. We hedge everything, every exposure above 50,000 rand. If we have a foreign currency exposure above 50,000 rand, we take out the hedge for that. To make sure that we do not speculate as far as interest rates are concerned, and we apply that quite consistently throughout the business. If we look at slide 34, which is just Eskom's balance sheet or financial position, the biggest movements on the balance sheet from our perspective has been the property, plant and equipment, because we have a massive investment program. That is significant, so that is a significant movement. We can also see the investment in securities that has been quite big, and that deals with our liquidity position. Our cash position by the end of the financial year, with cash and cash equivalents plus our liquidity, our investment in securities, and most of that investment securities is into government bonds, has been close to over 40 billion rand. Cash at hand as a company. And then on the liability side, the biggest issue for us in terms of our liabilities has been our debt, particularly our debt securities issued, the increase of that and our increase of our borrowings, and those are the major movements from that perspective in terms of our debt. One of the big issues for us is how do we then fund this big program, bulk program? We do fund it primarily from raising debt, both locally and internationally. So on slide 36, what was then very important for us from that perspective are these ratios, because these are the ratios that the rating agency specifically looked at. Our objective is in terms of our gross debt over our EBITDA is to achieve a number less than 3, and by the end of that financial year we were 8.2%, and we needed to get to less than 3 in terms of our debt over our EBITDA. And in our interest cover, we need to achieve an interest cover of greater than 3, and we have, by the end of this financial year, achieved 1.54%. The pie diagram on slide 36 is quite useful. What is very important for us is that we take our debt that matches the life of our assets. So we have long-term assets, and therefore we take our debt that are also long-term. And so our debt and debt maturities, 62% of our debt is more than 10 years, only 4.8% is up to 1 year, and 33% of the debt is between 1 to 10 years. And on slide 37, we give you the debt maturity profile, and as you can see, the debt that we've raised, we will have to pay it back between now and 2041. And so it's very important that we have a financially sustainable company that invests in its assets, that can operate, so that we can make sure that when all of us are not here anymore, the organization is in a position to repay its debt right up to 2041. So our objective is always to match our long-term assets, because some of our power stations has got a life of 50, 60 years, to match the life of those assets to the life of the debt, and therefore you have this long debt maturity profile in terms of the debt that has to be repaid. The next section just deals with our capacity expansion program. We have a big part of our business is our capacity expansion program. We have the following portfolio that we're busy working on: the return to service of 3 decommissioned coal-fired stations, the building of 2 new coal stations, Medupi and Kusile, the building of peaking plant and a renewable plant in the Western Cape, the peaking plant, the other peaking plant in Gula in KZN, and a renewable wind farm in the Western Cape. We also have an extensive refurbishment program on our existing power station. And then we're building close to 5,000 kilometers of new transmission lines throughout South Africa and new substations throughout the whole country. And that is what we assigned to do over the next 8 years. So in terms of the build program, we have, since we started in 2005, By the end of this financial year, have commissioned 5,200 megawatts of new capacity. We have built 3,286 kilometers of high voltage transmission lines in South Africa and commissioned new transmission substations of over 17,000 MVAs throughout the country. A significant portion of our program is ongoing. By the end of this financial year, Medupi's cost is just under 100 billion rand, and we spent 42% of that. Kusile, 120 billion rand, and we spent 21% of that. Angula, 37% of that. The return to service, we can say, is nearing completion. Now we've already completed Camden and Grootplay. Komati has completed 6 units. There's only 3 left. And our transmission is pretty much just over 52% of that. In terms of the commissioning of this plant, we have in the last financial year completed Grootplay. We have completed 6 of Komati's units, so there's only 3 left that must be done over the next 18 months. Arnold has been completed. Medupi will be commissioned before the end of next year. and that will continue until, between Maduka and Consilia will continue until about 2019. Angula will be finished by the end of 2014, and the wind farm construction we hope to start this year and finish that the first quarter of 2014. If we look at our cash flow, quite important, and maybe the next slide is slightly better than the table. If we go to slide 44, we can see the reconciliation of Eskom's cash position from the previous financial year, from 2010 at 15.5 billion to the end of the financial year of 2011 of 12.1 billion. We've generated from our operations by selling electricity and operating the company, we've generated 22.2 billion rand of cash. We have used that money and paid back our debt borrowings, so that's pay back our debt, of 18.8 billion rand, and the interest of that of close to 6 billion rand. We've raised for the financial year 58.8 billion rand worth of new debt, and received the 20 billion rand of the subordinated loan from the government. We then have taken that money and spend it on capital of 44 billion rand, and also taken the money and invested that in securities. So we have an investment of 33.7 billion rand in securities, giving us a total net liquid position of over 40 billion rand of cash at hand. On slide 45, we then deal with the detailed funding gap and funding plan. We have a funding plan of 300 billion that we have to raise in order to complete our current committed program up to the end of 2017. This plan comprises us raising bonds both in the South African market and in the national market. It comprises us using commercial paper in the South African market, using Export Credit Agency funding, the World Bank loan that we've received, the African Development Bank loan, a loan from the DBSA in South Africa, the shareholder loan, and then other sources of debt. And of the 300 billion rand that we have identified, by the end of this financial year, we have secured and signed all the agreements for 70% of that. On the right-hand column, we can then see exactly how we've committed government guarantees to these different debt that we've raised in the markets. In this financial year, Eskom has also raised its first U.S. bond issue, the largest bond issue by any company in South Africa, very successfully on an unguaranteed basis, and we managed to raise $1.75 billion U.S. dollars, and the book was 2.5 times oversubscribed. So that has been very successful, and that is part of the funding that we've done in that financial year. Chair, the next section, I'm just briefly going to go through the operating highlights for each of the different major business parts of Eskom. The first part is our generation business. Generation business of Eskom operates all our power stations. They operate 27 power stations, 13 coal stations, 4 gas stations, 6 hydroelectric stations, 2 pumps for the scheme, the 1 nuclear plant, and we do have a small wind facility. Coburg is our nuclear plant right down in the Western Cape. We have operated it over 25 years very successfully. We have the new expansion program that we're busy with, and they also responsible as generation to make sure they operate this plant once it's commissioned. And we can also see on that table the reserve margin from that perspective. On slide 48, what is very important for generations to make sure there's enough capacity in the country to keep the lights on. They've done that very successfully. They had to work very hard around the World Cup and looking at the making sure they meet our country's demand, which is normally the highest during the winter months. They have looked very closely at the water use within the power stations because they use most water. And then they've also, on their own side, commissioned control center to look at how they look at optimizing performance across all the power stations. Some of the challenges in that part of our business, we have announced the Duva Unit 4 unit where we had a catastrophic failure. That unit is expected to return before in the last quarter of this year. We have a constrained power system where we had to move maintenance in order to make sure that the light stays on in the country, and that's something that we're actively dealing with. focusing on our particulate emissions. We still suffer on our coal plants losses. That means we cannot run the coal plants at full production because of the quality of the coal issues that we have, both the quality of coal that we receive, and that is impacting our availability of our plant. Within our nuclear station, within Coburg, and throughout the whole of Eskom, we are seeing a significant impact of original equipment manufacturer or suppliers' quality issues on our performance. And it is a concern. And these are not necessarily South African companies, these are international companies. And we are paying quite a lot of attention to the contract management of, and what's happening with the quality of suppliers in terms of their own processes. And that is a concern. On slide 50, we just provide the technical performance for generation in terms of availability of the plant, both in terms of unplanned and our planned capability factors. At the bottom, the committee can see the reserve margin as well from that perspective. The generation performance, what we measure is availability, and really we would wish to keep our plant availability up, but in order for us to do that, we need to do significantly amount more maintenance, planned maintenance, and we can't do that primarily because we don't have necessarily the time to do that because of the high demand of electricity in the country, and therefore we have a very active program in terms of management of demand. Most of our power stations are also in their midlife. They're more than 20 years old. And, the youngest one is most probably about 20 years. And they've got a life of about 50 to 60 years. So they require a significant amount of maintenance at this point in time. And we just don't have enough time to do planned maintenance on the Eskom coal fleet. On our primary energy costs, on slide 52, coal is certainly our largest primary energy source in the country. We have three main types of coal contracts. The majority of our coal is supplied through what we call cost-plus contracts, where we cover all the costs on the mines and the reserves are dedicated to us. And 24% of that is fixed-price contracts. And as I said earlier, 80% of our coal has been secured until 2020. Water is obviously, we're a big water user, so we watch that very carefully. Nuclear, we source on international markets, the fuel for Kubuk. And currently, nuclear is currently our lowest cost primary energy form, lower than, slower than coal. And then in the case of gas-fired, it's more liquid-fired diesel. We source it locally, and the prices are regulated in terms of what we all pay in the market. Primary energy cost as a percentage of revenue has been coming down, so it's sitting just at about 40% of our revenue, so it's a big part of our cost. And as we said at the bottom, over 80% of our generation mix is coal-based. The highlights on slide 53, what has been very pleasing is that we've maintained our coal costs below our budget, and our budget is what the regulator set for us. That's a very important aspect. We have seen dam levels in the country higher than expected, and what that does, it reduces our cost of pumping water. We have a very strong partnership with Transnet, and we're increasingly moving coal from the roads, particularly in Mpumalanga, onto the rail. And that is very pleasing, and it's in line with government's integrated infrastructure plans throughout the country. We have signed a number of agreements for medium-term coal supply, moving us away from short-term coal supply options to more medium-term supply options. That is rather a 10-year period. We do have challenges on the coal side. The road repair program is a massive program, particularly in Mpumalanga, around the roads. We have seen poor performance from some of the mines that supply us with coal. You know, whenever we have a mine right next to our power station not performing, it means that we have to put coal on the truck. That's more expensive, and then truck it. Road fatalities and public fatalities due to transporting about 30 million tons of coal on the road is a big challenge for us. People don't realize that the coal, the moving coal around South Africa, we must be the largest transport company moving coal around, big freight, and it is a challenge for us to move that coal from the road onto rails and trains from that perspective. The next of our businesses is our transmission and distribution business, or our network business. From our perspective, we only provide electricity directly to 45% of the end users. So most customers in South Africa actually get electricity from municipalities, and we provide to municipalities. I know that diagrams are quite small, but if we look carefully, we can see that in terms of our sales, most of it goes to the distributors. That would be municipalities, then industrial customers, and mining, as I said, and then a very small portion to residential customers that we serve. And where does the money come from? The money comes from the distributors, the industrial customers, and mining in a very similar percentage. Although our total customers, the majority of our customers, say over 90% of our customers are residential customers. The table there is quite interesting because that deals with the losses, the energy losses, both what we call technical losses due to line lengths, but also non-technical losses, and that is primarily theft of electricity, and we have seen the losses come down. Total losses for Eskom 8.25%, the regulator set us a target of 8.75%, and the non-technical losses at 1.7% of our total sales. Some of the aspects in our distribution or our network business, our Operation Kanyisa is part of our energy loss management campaign together with many partners in South Africa. We focus specifically on the connection of new schools, the management of energy losses that has been reduced. Our transmission business had a very good performance, and then the implementation of our demand-side program achieving 354 megawatts. The challenges in that part of our business has been the high levels of theft of electricity, affecting our plant performance and certainly increasing our costs. The fatalities we've spoken about, that has been a big concern in our distribution business in particular. Our sales has been lower than budget. The municipal debt has improved, and it's something that we are watching very carefully. And by the end of March 2011, we had 123 million rand of overdue municipal debt. We are working very hard in terms of large customers that is not paying. We had one case in terms of a large customer that has been liquidated, and one that we had a dispute on. That dispute has subsequently been resolved through arbitration, and Eskom has won that. We are concerned about our own security of our employees as they work throughout the country. It is an issue. The birds, we have working very closely with BirdLife in South Africa to look at collisions of birds with our power lines, and there's a very specific program in terms of that. And for the last financial year, we have not made the target of electrification connections. We've made 150,000, and we were supposed to do 158,000 throughout the year. The transmission technical performance, summary of that, there were no major incidents, and the transmission performance has been very good in terms of its technical performance. In the case of our distribution performance, what we have seen is an improvement in technical performance on slide 59, but they have not achieved the targets. They have, in the last financial year that we've just finished, made a significant improvement around this performance. And these measures really measures the quality of supply that customers see, in terms of what we provide to them across the customer base. On slide 60, we provided an analysis of our demand-side program. As we said, we have saved 354 megawatts and we spent 545 million rand. As you can see, most of the savings comes from residential lighting programs, efficient lighting programs, the water heating, and compressed air systems that we work with big companies in replacing, as well as working with big companies in industrial process optimization. And since we started our demand side program, we have achieved energy savings of 2,700 megawatts. That's half a power station over the last 6 years since 2005. And that program continues and continues to be funded by the regulator. On slide 62, we're just talking about keeping the lights on in the country. As I said, we do provide updates to the country on a very regular basis, on a quarterly basis. We have implemented plans on the demand and the supply side to manage the very constrained power system. The lights has been kept on during the winter of 2010 and 2011. We're now going into the winter of 2012. The demand side savings is very important for us to create enough capacity to do maintenance. We simply don't have, we have enough capacity as Eskom to meet the country's demand requirements, but we don't have enough capacity to meet the demand plus the reserve requirements, and we need the reserves in order to be able to do maintenance on our coal plant, and that is a key challenge for us. And hence the energy efficiency program is very important to create that that space. The summer months are normally very constrained because we do most of our maintenance of our plant in summer, and so we quantified here that if all South Africans across the country save 10% of their energy use of the 2010, we will certainly have more than enough capacity to do our maintenance, secure the power system. That will mean 3,700 megawatts. That is about the size of one big power station. And that is about 23 million tons of CO2 that will be saved. So the energy efficiency program, from our perspective, is very important. We've stated it clearly that our resolve as Eskom is that we don't ever want to go back to load shedding. So we must make it very clear that we can't do it on our own, but we're convinced that if everybody works together and everybody do save 10% of electricity use, there's no reason why we can't keep the lights on and make sure that we have a secured power system. On slide 63, we provide the committee just a summary of the actions. This is normally what I do on a quarterly basis. We just give an actions around what has happened over the last quarter, both in terms of the demand and the supply side from that perspective. Just adding a few points, we have contracted private generation over and above Eskom of 891 megawatts. Of which 376 of that is from independent power producers, and 515 of that is from municipal generators, primarily in Tshwane and City Power. Slide 64, we talk about just our focus. We focus across our value chain of generation. For them, it's very important to focus on the availability of the coal plant and the reliability thereof, the management of our fleet, the efficiency of how we run the business, the capacity expansion that is being done, and environmental performance. Transmission and distribution focuses around the continued building of new lines, both in transmission and distribution. The availability and reliability of their performance. We have quite a strong focus now on customer services in Eskom. They focus really on segmentation of our customers, the cost of serving customers, and ensuring that the customer satisfaction improve. But we have also quite a strong efficiency drive in Eskom, focusing on reduction of our cost, our procurement optimization that's led by Dan. We've also implemented quite a robust program called Back to Basics in redesigning all our business processes and find a way to standardize that throughout the company and simplify that and relook at how we do business as Eskom. On slide 65, we are fully in support of government's 5 priorities and have been actively driving this across our business. In terms of education, we have committed to train 10,000 young people in South Africa by 2015. We have said that over and above our own training needs, we will take an additional 5,000 young people into Eskom, train them not for Eskom, but train them for the larger economy, of which 2,500 of that will be young, unemployed matriculants, and 2,500 of that graduates that needs practical experience. I can say to the committee that by the end of the financial year 2012, we have done that. We now have an additional total number of learners of 11,000 in Eskom, which is possibly more than most companies put together. In terms of healthcare, our specific focus for the last financial year has been around know your status and making sure that we focus on all employees and contractors, making sure they get themselves tested. This year we're focusing more on a holistic wellness program for our employees. Our employment as a company, we provide with Eskom and everything else that Eskom does, most probably employment, direct employment of close to 100,000 people in South Africa, and we secure more than 50% of our program, our board program locally in the country. We have a very strong focus on corruption within the company. We do proactive audits on all our procurement activities prior to any approvals, and part of that include probity checks of all officials. That's been part of that process. And we have a very strong electrification program that specifically focuses on rural electrification and rural development. Chair, the last slide I'd like to just talk about is slide 66. We have launched our 49M campaign. We can now see that throughout our televisions, on the airports, throughout the country. Really, it's about all of us embracing an energy saving as a national culture. This is very similar to a drought when you don't have water. We as South Africans have been quite wasteful in the use of electricity, and we have launched this campaign, very strongly supported by the Minister of Public Enterprises. He's our champion and he's been driving it very actively. But really for us, this is more than just saving power. It's also about, as electricity tariffs goes up, saving money for consumers, but also more importantly, given the high coal concentration of power generation in South Africa, every unit of electricity saves about 1 kilogram of CO2, and that's quite significant from our perspective. So our message has always been, you know, if you don't use it, please switch it off and make sure everything is off if we're not in use of it. Chair, thank you. I've provided in the set of backup slides for each of the provinces the summary of our business per province. I have been, together with the Minister of Public Enterprises, been visiting all the premiers, and this is a copy of the presentation that we have made throughout the country, and it provides the detail of Eskom's business in each of the province, both in terms of what is the demand from the province, our footprint in the province, the amount of networks that we have in each of the provinces, our customers, where we're located, our revenues from each of the provinces, the amount of staff that we've been deployed in different provinces, our demand side program, our capital that we've prepared, our plans that we're actually investing in each of our provinces, the electrification part, and our social investment. Then we also talk about free basic electricity, the municipal debt in different provinces, how we deal with our particular challenges in the provinces, and then including block tariffs. And if there's any questions, I can go through those as well. Chair, that's the presentation, and then we'll take questions.
Thank you very much for the presentation, Mr. Damas. I can see members are excited. I'll start with Zod. And welcome.
Thank you.
And we apologize for starting before you arrive. So, Mdwada, then Honorable Sibande, Honorable Dibie, Honorable Mlenzana, Honorable Grunewald, I'll be the last.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and the Eskom staff members and parliamentary staff. Thank you for your presentation, sir. As a CEO of Eskom. For me, I have a concern. It's a question. So, some a question is a concern. We remember very well last year I was arrived at Inyogeni Royal Resident at Kwanongom. That your company is lighting all over houses there, households. But these people was already have a line, still paying for that service fee and connection fee. Especially in my room or in my house there. I was applied, I think, in Eskom for 16,000 for take the line, to apply for a line for my house. That transformer now is selling for 50 houses, household. Still, for me, I'm due to pay that money. There are 15 of us. If I go to customer services in Nongoma, say that I was signing the agreement, that I was applying the line. It's agreed that I was signing that agreement. Now, the service delivery is arriving near my house, in my household. Still, I'm due to pay that money. More than a year now, we pay that money. So connection fee and service fee.
Another question?
Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mama ngiyabonga. Bengicela mama unginikeze a chance because I've got few questions, not one. Thank you. You see, I don't know where to start, but I'll try from your slides, from your own presentation. But Mama, you know why I was raising that you must give me an opportunity. The first one which is worrying me, salary. No, I'm scared of your salaries. My question is, by what percentage have the salaries of ESCOM employees increased? Because I remember some of my workers were requesting for 7%. And then, in comparison to those of executive directors, because it might have happened, it is alleged that the directors are earning even more than the president of the country. And how this approach affects the relationship between the executive and the ESCOM's management and labor, and labor. Because somewhere I pick up something that includes you in yourself, sir. Other beneficiaries support two other payments, about 212,000 and salaries alleged to 5.7 million. I'm not sure, alleged. That is alarming. And then also, on page, that is the first one, staff and salary. And then also the issue of staff. ESCOM has a total of 41,778 compared to 32,222 the previous financial year. And the staff increased by 2,556. If you can clarify us, why so sharply? And then also, it is alleged that the top leadership of ESCOM is still Lily White. Top management of ESCOM. I mean, in senior position, which is dominated by white males. Oh, Mama, you are so lenient when you talk about the representatives of women. We need them in senior positions, not as tokens, not as briefcase carriers by the directive of the Constitution of this South Africa, and also by law, which is enshrined as an accounting officer in terms of PFMA. And which is worrying me. On page 3, if you can clarify me, on page 3 in your presentation, slide number 5, you, bulletin 3, which reads as follows, ma'am. ESCOM kept the lights on during the last year. During the last year, when South Africa hosted a successful 2010 FIFA World Cup. I don't know if it was by mistake or by omission. Because if that sentence is true, what is worrying me? Yes. What is worrying me? You see, while we are deployed in SOP, we need things which are nearly accurate or accurate. Because we are belonging to the provinces, I'll come with that one. But this one, I don't know how to do the interpretation of the sentence. Maybe I'm behind. Because it says last year. Well, last year it was 2011. It seems, if it reads like this, I'm scared of cut and paste. Cut and paste. And then again, same page 3. You spoke about the last bulletin, 42 billion rands, because it's 41.9 billion rands spent on broad-based black economic empowerment. A swap coming from different provinces. I'll be very much grateful if you can subdivide for us that how many BEEs benefited from each province. Because what is worrying me, it is alleged that some of these beneficiaries, it might happen are centered in some way in big cities, but forgetting the other areas in other provinces. And then the other one, it's on page. In terms of the Auditor General's opinion, it was alleged about the issue of irregularities and fraud. And I think there was an investigation and therefore it's still ongoing, I'm not sure. But may you please give me the following. What are the details of the alleged irregularities and fraud, and when will be the process be completed? And the other one, Mama, it's page 10. Let me go to page 10 from your slide. I remember something because of, before page 10, page 5. You see, in terms of the overview of the ESCOM business, may you please clarify us now? Because here you calculated correctly 9 provinces. I'm subject for correction. South Africa is also the focus on supplying in SADC. But there's no way where you mention whether I wanted to find out whether are we still supplying SADC with electricity or not? And if not, why is not mentioned here in terms of your budget? And also, this place where you spoke about, I can't remember which place, about 27 power stations. While we did have a project of Kabora Basa, do we still have any relationship with Kabora Basa? Is it still under South Africa? Or South Africa, does it get any shares in Kabora Basa? Because it was part of energy, which was also contributing, which is under South Africa, because it's supposed to come in your budget. And then that's why I saw this one, because I've just marked page 10. Let's go to page 10. Yes. Page 10, I think it's covered the thing of the these big salaries, basic salaries, and the argument by short and long term. You see, ma'am, if you can clarify it on that, because I'm scared of one thing. Because you were indicating about the issue of moratorium somewhere. You spoke about the moratorium that people, you know, my worry is that, yes, it's okay to speak about moratorium, that it's, why do we build money for the salaries, individual salaries, instead of doing something to upgrade the standard and lives of the people, in particular, for the people from the rural areas. Mama, I'll come to the second one. Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson. And also thank you for the presentation. Very detailed, I think. Jefferson, the president in the State of the Nation address actually made an intervention in ESCOM by asking them to go and look for an opinion which can reduce the pricing cost or tariff cost in our country. I I think that was made because of the last tariffs made by the National Energy Regulator of the 35% increment. Tariffs in 2010, I think. And that remains a concern for us, including myself. If I'm having a concern, what about the person who is unemployable? So I'm raising that 10% at the background of the presenter indicated that 80% of their clients in providing electricity is households in the country. The second issue, Chairperson, is during our oversight at most of in all the 9 provinces, the local authorities are complaining where Eskom is providing direct electricity to a portion or to a portion of the community, the 50 kilowatt electricity, the free one, it's always a problem. We remember the government gave the 50% free kilowatt electricity, but where Eskom is supplying, apparently there is problems. And I'm speaking out of my own experience. I also have that experience where I'm coming from. Chairperson, in terms of the zero tolerance fatalities of Eskom, although there was an explanation, its roads, its ground, its electricity, but I just wanted to check if there is a plan in place to reduce it, because it's 24, it's growing actually. One loss is too much lost. The awareness programs in terms of our informal sectors where people take live electricity across a road, is it effective? Is it, or do we need to commit to do more? How can we as a community assist of driving this program, of the awareness program? Because it is indeed a problem. It might rise, and we all see it rising in the winter time, where people need some sort of electricity. Chairperson, on the employment equity plan, I saw Eskom raise the issue of they seek to address that in the next 3 financial years to come. My previous colleague raised the issue in his own words of the issue of transformation in Eskom in terms of the top management. I saw also you seek to raise some of the other issues, although your disability targets are met. But for me, from point where I'm sitting for, is your transformation program. If it don't come from above, it will never reach the bottom. That is the fundamental for me, and it's really become a concern. Even the time frame for me it's a concern, and if Eskom has a program which deals with the transfer of skills in its organization for those who exit because of pension or other because I think the major defense of the salaries was because of the high skills which Eskom is looking at. But in terms of that high skill, is that skill being transferred in the institution when that skill is exiting the organization? Chairperson, the other one was related to the special price agreement. Special pricing agreement. I saw that you successfully negotiated only with one customer out of the 3. So is that the only 3 customers who's going to benefit out of this special pricing agreement, or is the others as well? And how far are you in terms of the concluding negotiations with the rest of the two? Your hillside and your bayside. Jefferson, I think no, but before we close, is that because time is not always with us. The minister gave an assurance in terms of there will be no power cuts, but he was concerned about the demand and the supply. For me, if I analyze that one, he had opened a door or made provision for if something happens. Because he says that during this time, which was confirmed by the presenter, is that in the winter time, the use of electricity is escalating actually. So are we in a position to supply the demand this time? And what happened about the demand which was supplied during the 2010? Is that now? Is that not in this season? Didn't you save that supply, which was enormously, I think, during the 2010 World Cup period in our country? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have a question here, Chairperson. Which I am not sure if it is actually related to the presentation. I'm looking at the cover page. I wonder if I'm inviting you to look at the cover page. Now, Mr. Dunner, who is this lady in that cover page? Why is she there? I'm asking this Chairperson, like, if a community member gets this document on my table in my constituency office, what does this link, what does it say about ESCOM? No, I'm just asking. We are talking ESCOM. Sure. The other one, no, don't give. I don't want you to provide answers. I'm just asking. Chair, I had a session with the Premier of the province of Eastern Cape, and she was briefing us around the, I think we discussed this before. The movement or the inclusion of the areas in Alfred Nzo, his municipality of the Eastern Cape, those areas which were formerly serviced from Margate in KZN, they are now with effect from this financial year moving into the Eastern Cape, which means they would be now serviced from the Eastern Cape. That's what we appreciate. That's what we've been calling for. But now my question would be the state of readiness for such implementation in terms of capacity. Do you as ESCOM have capacity, avoiding a situation where people would cry foul at better Egypt than this long route to Ghana, in terms of leadership and management? Have you provided for that you would now need offices, ESCOM offices, nearer to that place, avoiding a situation where those people would have to run all the way from Mount Fletcher to East Lana, avoiding a situation where people from Mount Frere would say it was better going to Margate than traveling all the way to East London? Are you looking at a situation where you enhance the capacity around that area, even in terms of your human resources?
2011, the National Energy Regulator of South Africa, NERSA, granted Eskom a 24.8% tariff increase for the year 2010-2011, falling short of a requested 35% hike. Now, what one would be interested in the impact caused by that. Is Eskom able to clearly estimate the cost that the new reduced tariff increases this year would have on its future finances? And will the resulting shortfall have to be caught up through price increases at a later date? We're asking this, Chairperson, avoiding a situation where we were told and we did not seek clarity and advice. Chair, there are two statements here. I don't want to say they are contradicting, but one would need clarity. Your slide 15 states that training and development has always been a focus for Eskom. But in the same vein, if one goes to page 210 of the annual report, where you are talking of reasons for not meeting the targets on the shareholder compact, that first bullet on generation capacity, that bullet, without going through the reading it word for word, says to me, that's why I'm saying one would need clarity, if it says to me, you still are faced by a number of skills related challenges. If you look at the challenges that we are raising there. And one chair would further also drawn by that bullet want to know whether the issues at Grootvlei Unit 5 and Nkomati Unit 4 have been resolved. Because that bullet there, that paragraph indicates that not all is well. Chair, you are strict on time, which I agree with you, but as a rural boy, Chair, your slide 14 states that the new bill program will source over 50% of the workers from local communities. What one now would be interested, what percentage of the workers will be from other countries? You know, was it last year where I was emphatic about I am not xenophobic, I am not anti people coming into South Africa, but I'm always concerned when one would see a situation where whilst we stay live with unemployment in South Africa, we then accept a situation where there are people from outside the country who would then come in. It is in that context that I'm asking this question. The last one, the very last one. It is the very, very last one. With regard to your slide 19, this one, unfortunately, there's media there at the back. I'm not sure where that should actually belong. Last year, Eskom spokesperson Hilary Joffe was quoted by Business Life. Let me mention the paper check so that I don't go willy-nilly. Business Life was quoting her as
main pillars of the performance criteria are keeping the lights on and efficiency saving. And she further said there are no bonuses awarded if the ESCO fails on this criteria. You also indicated this. But now, with regard to, if you go to the slide 90, with regard to the shareholder compact and the performance area entitled provision of electricity, there is there, if you look, Chairperson, that template. If you look at that template, the top row or the first row on generation capacity, it's flickering red. That red, according to my understanding, Chair, says failed. If you move from the red backward, the target was 6 watt. It was 6 to 5. And the actual achievement was half that, 315. Now, one is interested. How has this underachievement affected ESCO bonuses? And also, will these details of the shareholder compact be provided to assess the committee? Chair, as the Honourable Spender said, there are many other questions that one can raise. I will appeal that if time constrains us, you allow us to write down some of these questions, even after we have closed us down. We write the questions, we forward them. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. My questions will be short, but I have a couple of questions. In the first place, my colleague touched on this one, and that is the increasing of electricity into the future. What effect will it have? You said that, all of us know that the last 3 years there will be an increase. But what happened after these 3 years? I want to know. And what percentage will the increase be? I believe it will be less than now. If we look into the profits you have, you said it's very strong, from 3.6 billion, that is a lot of profit, to 8.4 billion. And what are you going to do with this profits? Where are you going to spend it? I'm very worried about it, because if you are looking into the bonuses of the executive people, the huge bonuses they've got, if we have these strong profits, in your words, I just wonder what will happen into the future with these profits. Are they getting into someone's pockets, or is it into the industry to exploit more and better for the citizens of South Africa? There's a lot of energy losses in our communities, and I want to know, how are you going to control these losses of energy? There's a lot of fraud taking place, and people is putting their own cables and all that kind of thing. What measures do you have in place to resolve these problems in our communities? Hand in hand with that is that how are you going to deal with these multiply dwellers in the communities? I mean, that is the people who's giving the municipalities headaches, and I think for you too. The water situation in Medupi, I'm a bit worried about that. All the water you are going to use there, is it coming from some places, or where did you get the water for Medupi, especially Medupi? Because that is a really drought area. And then you also mentioned the quality of coal. quality coal, or is it also a low quality coal? And that is also something I'm worried about, because we are exported a lot of coal to foreign countries, and that is of high quality. So and we are using the low quality in South Africa. That doesn't make sense for me. And how are you going to handle and handle that at this stage, the debts of the municipalities? If you listen, municipalities is going bankrupt, and there's no money to pay the, for their services, and especially electricity. What are you doing in, regarding that? And what are you doing regarding specific skills? We need specific skills at Medupi and at these power, power stations, and I will make an example of the welders. How are you training them? Who are training them? And then at the end, my last question is about nuclear. What is the future of nuclear in South Africa? Are we putting it aside now for a while, or what is going on there? And then I like the slogan of the three P's. I think that is very effective, and you can keep on using it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Honorable Mlenza, that picture. See, that picture, I think it has got a meaning, and we will get the meaning. So that when this is in my constituency, I'm able, Mr. Damas, to explain to the to my constituency what is it, what does this picture mean. And then at the end also, the thank you. Thank you. When you said thank you, there's another one. Say thank you. You say thank you, and there's a beautiful, beautiful picture there. Yeah, mine is on page 34. Thank you. Thanks. Mine is on slide 19. What progress has been made in regard with the installation of the 446 kilometer transmission lines target, and then have the outstanding land and rights issue been dealt with, and when will this target be met? Then I look on page 35, that starts with 49M. We educating 49 million people to save electricity. What I want to know is that do we also encourage industries to save electricity? Because we're going around campaigning. If possible, we go door to door talking about this 49M campaign. But the industries, how do we educate the industries? You drive in the middle of Pretoria, you find the lights are on in the offices. I haven't driven around Cape Town because most of the time I'm not here. You go to Nelspruit. We can mention many towns, many cities where the lights are on during even government departments. So my question is, how do we educate the industries? Because we are now targeting, my understanding gives me an impression that we are targeting individuals. So if we can explain that. And on page 35, I'm looking at the provinces information on provinces, and my question is, who in all the provinces communicate with the national office to give more information? Because, for example, when I'm in my constituency, there will be people doing somewhere looking for electricity. And when you talk to somebody from Eskom, we'll say that's not our responsibility, that's the responsibility of the municipality. So I think those people down there also must actually give information of what is happening down there, because when they don't have that information of who is responsible for putting electricity, installing electricity in that area, even not mine. The people only knows that there is Eskom, and Eskom must do this. So we must also educate these people, give these people information. The people, our people of Eskom, in each and every region in the provinces, let's talk to them to give you that feedback, so that when you come to the Select Committee on Labour and Public Enterprises, we have that information, so that we are able together to educate, because I think this is very good, this information. It's from 35 to 50. This information that talks about the province, it's such a good information for us to use when we go to constituencies, but it lacks more information. So at national level, Mr. Damas, in your office, what I want to know, do you have somebody who communicates directly with provinces and get an audited report of, you know, they must give you that report, even if the area doesn't belong to them, even if the area belongs to the municipality, but they must tell you to say, if this happens, you mustn't be surprised, because this is not our territory, it's the municipality's territory. And with us as members, that can actually assist us to say, as a member of parliament, this is in my constituency, let me go and negotiate with the municipality before these people take an action. That will actually help us with the information if it's in there. We can actually minimize the doing and people demanding electricity. Because they demand this electricity, they don't know actually what is happening. Poor councillors who have been put in place like yesterday, they are being harassed, their houses are being burnt, because the community doesn't have information, and the municipality doesn't have information. I mean, they doesn't work hand in hand with the constituents. We want to work hand in hand with them, so that when I go to my constituency, I draw up a program, and on my program, I'll sit down with this document and say, this is what is happening, and this is what is going to happen. This area, I'll name them Kutsu, Bashabalala, Swalala. This is the area that belongs to municipality, and Eskom is going to assist us through the municipality. We're going to sit down. You know, we can really avoid all this protest, if I may say. But if you can just give more information on this and send it to us, we don't want it now, because we must still go and talk to Eskom in provinces, the people who can give you this information, and send it to us, so that we are able to also educate the communities. This 49M, Mr. Damas, I attended once, and I requested that you, anyway, you hijacked me there at the breakfast. I went with you to the campaign, even though I didn't walk around. But I think it's important that members of parliament also take part. If it goes to the Eastern Cape at Manfred, if that information is with Loli, you can send the information here, then a member of that particular province will actually be part of the campaign, so that the people will actually time and again remember that we must do this. Even the community themselves, they can do the 49 campaign without Eskom being there. Thank you. Can you respond? We will come back if time allows us.
Chair, I will go through the response. I'm going to ask my colleagues to add between Dan and Louis. The first question of the member around the first service fee and connection fee, I don't have the details. Louis can add. Chair, I would ask that on a lot of these we can provide you with written responses. So those responses that we don't have today, we'll provide the committee with written responses. But if we can have the details, exact details of the situation in Mungoma, and then we can deal with that. Louis, I don't know if you want to just.
Yeah, the chair, well,
can I just say something before you come in? I wanted to say, when you started, Mr. Damas, you said this document, you presented it in the portfolio committee. We didn't have any problem with that, because it's a document that has been referred to this committee by Parliament. But now we want to busy it with the information that actually is from provincial background. Thanks.
Yeah, I think let's have the information and we will follow up the connection thing. I think the next question, comment I'd like to make, as I said, we were asked to present to this committee our financial results for the year ending March 2011. We're currently signing off our financial year end results for the year March 2012. That's what we were asked to do. The presentation we present here is what we presented during our results in the National Assembly. We have added particularly the provincial information for this committee. We've added that for this committee to provide the provincial perspective, given the committee focus. If I can then deal with the members' questions around salaries and a whole lot of stuff, we have the detail in the presentation as we've given there. That clearly indicates the increases of management. It has been 6.9%, less than 7%. And I think for that financial year, we can give you the increases for the staff. The staff increases were higher than 7% for the financial year. The issue around management, top management, being the staff increases from 41,000 where we're at now. And actually, for the last financial year, we've increased our staff. We're now 42,000 people. Eskom is growing. It's a growing company. We're building 17,000 capacity. We're adding 155,000 new connections every year. We're building thousands of kilometers of lines. So the growth of staff is really from a perspective of the fact the company's growing, and therefore we're employing more people. As I said, we're training over 5,000 people in this financial year, and all of those people that we trained and prepared for employment inside of the company. Then there was a comment around our transformation and racial equity, particularly the top management is Lily White. I'm top management, Danny's top management, Louis is top management, and I only have two white executives on my exco. We're a team of nine. There's two white males. We have a lot of work to do in terms of transformation. On slide, on annual report, page 129, sets out an employment equity plan for the different parts of the organization. We're currently not only focusing on the lower level of staff, nor do we focus on all the staff. We're focusing on our skilled staff. We're focusing on our professional specialists in the company, senior management and top management, and across all those levels, more than 50% of the staff are from previously are black across all the management levels of ESCO. The details of that is on page 129. There was a question about cut and paste. We did not cut and paste. We were asked to present our results for the year ending March 2011, and so in that financial year we hosted the World Cup in 2010, and that was covered in that financial year. So the slide 5, bullet 3, is exactly the events for that financial year. We can, Chair, provide for the committee the support for broad-based black economic empowerment per province. Dan is head of procurement, and Dan can provide that. The Auditor General does not audit Eskom. Eskom is audited by, in this case, it was KPMG, Isidro and Saluga. We have a requirement under PFMA to deal with irregularities, fraud, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. In this financial year, there was one issue around PN Energy that we have highlighted as a irregular expenditure of just over 58 million rand. That is a business that has been established within the Western Cape, actually, to operate in, I think, in Khayelitsha. Louis, you can... that matter is currently has gone to court and is in the process of being finalized. So we have dealt with that in terms of actually taking it to court. We do supply SADC, and we did mention that in our presentation. So if we look at our sales, and where we have reference to our sales, and we talk about international sales. So when we say international sales, it's sales outside of the borders of South Africa. We supply a very small portion of our energy outside of South Africa to Mozambique, to Botswana, to Namibia, to Lesotho, to Swaziland, and it's very important for us. We can't be as an island on our own, just look at our own needs. So we're very much integrated into the region. We have captured that. So wherever we talk about international sales, it's actually our sales to our neighboring countries. It is a very small portion of our sales, but it is a... Gee, there was a question around Kabarabasa. Kabarabasa is still a big part of our supply. We import 1,500 megawatts of electricity from Kabarabasa in Mozambique. We have a long-term contract around that, the Kabarabasa's ownership is now all with the Mozambicans, we as Eskom buy the power over a long-term contract from Kabarabasa. So it's still very much part of our electricity supply in the country. The members' questions firstly was raised around the President's request in the State of the Nation. The President has made the request. Eskom has responded within the 4 weeks commitment that we gave the President. And we've actually announced that for the last financial year, which is this year, that from the 1st of April, the tariffs did not increase by 26% as been determined, but the tariffs has only increased by 16%. So we have responded to the President. We have made a public announcement. We have announced that, and it's been implemented it, so that customers see a lower increase than what was actually approved 3 years ago. So that was completed. And we gave the President feedback. In terms of the concern around free basic electricity, government provides free basic electricity. Municipalities has to identify the people. We configure the people that has to receive it. The municipalities then must make sure people collect that. 99.9% of everybody that has been identified has been configured on our system to receive free basic electricity. And if there are any specific issues, please let us have it and you can follow it up. Louis, I don't know if you want to talk about this.
The first thing is that we have a
Chair, there was a question around fatalities. It is a big concern. There's a big awareness program, Operation Kanyisa, within the communities. Maybe Louis can talk about what we're doing around there, around illegal connections. Dan can talk about how we're dealing with, for instance, with the coal transporters, because there's a big intervention with provincial government, with companies to deal with that. I don't know. Do we, Dan?
Thanks, Chair. The deeper issues around public fatalities and illegal connections, I think, requires a joint effort. Eskom on its own at this stage, we are having programs, but we need community involvement and leadership in the communities. We are busy with the legal fraternity to assist us in terms of making these crimes high priority. And our concern is the children are the ones that are actually casualties in this process, and that's a big concern for us. And that is why we are pushing to a point where we are saying, if people could be arrested for capable homicide, so be it. So we are experimenting in some provinces, in Limpopo, and MPA is coming to the party on this. But I think our appeal really for our support is when we do community work, these are some of the issues that we need to raise. But Operation Kanyeza is mainly to focus on education, awareness, as well as removals, physical removals of this. The second issue is some of the illegal connections in some instances are related to people genuinely wanting electricity, but they are in the unproclaimed areas by municipalities. And they tap into the networks that are closer to where they are staying. And this is probably a national issue that the National Housing Department should look at in terms of, do they establish this as proclaimed areas, and do we now go and put permanent infrastructure? So there are deeper issues of electrification needs. Some of it is mischief, obviously people trying just to steal, but there are some genuine concerns coming from communities regarding them wanting permanency, and we cannot provide that if the laws in terms of housing and establishment and proclamations are not resolved. We will continue to have this type of problems. But from Easy Yoga, that is people that are stealing from us, those have been addressed by the programs.
Chairman, if I may, within the coal haulage routes of Mpumalanga, the number of fatalities of the coal truck drivers has, over a period of time, came substantially down. And that's been because of the interventions aimed at enforcing safe state and conditions of the coal trucks, correct driver attitude and road behaviors as enforced by one of our subsidiaries that does the physical monitoring on the roads, but also spending time out with the both the drivers and the owners of the business on safety and road safety education in particular. The area that is still posing significant challenge to us is the community and the public fatalities in those areas. We see public fatalities on a pattern of evening accidents, weekend accidents mostly, besides this emphasis, ongoing emphasis of improving the conditions of the road, it still requires work. We've in the past eliminated trucking at times when the risk was too high, when there's mist, mines shut down and trucking is brought to a halt until the roads are safer. But we've also worked with the provincial governments in Mpumalanga to increase patrols and visibility in those areas. The ultimate solution, Chair, for us, we believe, as the CEO indicated earlier on, is to move the 35 million tons of coal that we are tracking that we're moving by trucks to move to rail. And in that regard, as in the report, Chair, we'll see that the progress reports around the road to rail migrations remain on our forefront, with ensuring that we have alternative transportation capabilities so we can eliminate the risk altogether.
Can Honourable Sibanda clarify the question to you after let the follow-up in the form of clarity?
You see, let me start by commenting by saying, please, appealing from ISCOM. I think as we are here to empower each other, but not to defend. Because I'll read the table where I referred to. Because my emphasis was not being a racist, but was to emphasize the issue of women participation. I'll read you the following, and correct me if I'm out of
in the 2010 financial year, there were about 97 females at ESCOM occupying both top and senior position, compared to 312 males in the same position. And again, the report says, a report released by the Employment Equity Commission confirmed the male domination scenario reflected at ESCOM as in other South African businesses. Am I wrong or right? I mustn't defend. I can go deeper and deeper, that it must be corrected. That's what we're saying. And again, the report revealed that white men hold 62.9% of management position, especially in the private, listen to this one, underline it, especially in the private sector, while they're representing only 6.7% of the economically active population. On the other hand, white women hold 10.2% compared to 2.6% held by African women. We said women emancipation. Oh, they must be included. Why must we defend it? And then we come to the table. I won't go deep to the table. I can give you the size of the table that compare the percentages, if you will push me that far. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
I mean, we should be clear from our perspective. We're not defensive. We have a lot of work to do around gender equity in particular. The issue around gender equity, you're very correct, you're absolutely correct. And even on page 129, it's very clear that we're lagging in terms of representation at all levels in terms of gender equity. And we have a clear plan. The Minister of Public Enterprise has actually asked that we do drive that. And so when we look at our recruitment, we specifically make sure we skew that to start addressing that. So the member is absolutely correct, and there's a lot of work for us to do from our perspective. So that is the case. If I can then deal with the rest of it, there was a question around skills transfer. I don't think it's as effective as it should be. We also, in our annual report, have given a profile of our age profile of our staff. And quite a large profile of our staff is young, and quite a large profile is above 50. So we are now actually have asked for human resources to look at a specific skills transfer program, and hence our intense focus on training and development to make sure that we address that. It is a key risk for us. As people retire, how do we make sure that the young people coming in has got the necessary skills? The member asked a question around special pricing agreements. We have 138 large customers, of which only three of them had special pricing agreements. It was the Billiton smelter in Mozambique, it was the Hillside in Bayside, and an Anglo smelter. We've renegotiated the Billiton one in Mozambique, we've renegotiated the Anglo one in Namibia. There's only what is left is only the one Hillside in Bayside, only the one customer that we have to still renegotiate. There we have a contract, and there we are working on that supply. The winter of 2012, this winter, you're correct, the supply of electricity goes up in winter. We have made a clear plea to our customers around the use of electricity during winter. We have just finished all our maintenance. We will be finishing our maintenance before we get into winter. So normally we don't maintain our plants, so we keep all of it available to meet the demand. But our resolve is still making sure that the light stays on, and that's quite important from that perspective. There was a question around the cover page of our presentation. The lady is an Eskom employee working in our call center. I don't know if I missed something. We normally use different pictures of the company that we put on different presentations, and this is one of our employees working at our call centers. We run quite a big call center for our customers. It's one of our employees. The Alfredton Zoo, maybe Louis, if you can add to the capacity building.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. The model that we now have, as correctly pointed by the member, that we have moved now some of the traditionally Makemake customers over to the Eastern Cape. We have provisions made for the areas. There is, if you look at the Elliot area, it's covered. All those areas in Matatiele and Sikisiki and all that are now being managed. And we have a management structure. We have the TSAs, which are your technical support areas, and we also have the customer services areas. So in terms of management and operators, it is well resourced. So it's just a boundary change. We're not changing or moving people around. We just change the boundaries to align with the provincial boundaries.
If I may chair, I think it's Honourable De Beers that spoke about the transformation program, and I thought maybe to emphasise that what we now have in the business is an emphasis around transformation program that deals with management development, skills development, and the element of procurement as a tool for feathering and entrenching transformation within society. So we drive this from a collective point with very strong support from the board that we tackle both the transformation from a critical skills development element, dealing with the issues that the Honourable Minister Honourable Member Sibanda indicated about racial breakdown, women empowerment, into our training programs, and also seeing how we bring black businesses into our supply chain processes. So it is an integrated program.
There was a question around the application that we made and the reduced tariffs, and are there any shortfalls and any concern around the shortfalls. We were very comfortable. We actually, when the president made the call, we actually went back and looked at even what the regulator has approved, the 25.9, and re-looked at where we at as a company, how we manage our coal costs, what is happening to electricity sales, and the shareholders also been prepared to give up some of the return, and to really say, let's not look at price increases over short periods of time, maybe longer periods of time, it's a slot period. So we're comfortable in terms of the financial position of tariffs. It will, the point I'd like to make, and the question has been asked about the future, what happens after this? We are busy preparing our application for the next period. The electricity prices in the country is still not at the level where it's cost effective. We have not decided on the levels of the increases. That is a process of consultation. We're finalizing our application. It needs to be in by the July of this year. Then for the rest of this year, the regulator would run public participation process throughout all the provinces. Actually, we visit each province, and presentations are made, and input is taken, and then the regulator to make a decision, mostly by the end of this year, around what happens going forward. But our approach would be one of a longer period, and mostly more gradual increases going forward. The skills challenge still exists in Eskom, and hence a big amount of training. Dan has spoken about the leadership training. So the Grootvlei Unit 5 and Komati issues were not necessarily skills issues. Both those issues have been resolved. Both Grootvlei, as I said earlier in my presentation, are fully completed. Komati has been resolved. Six units is done. They have three left, and then we finish with our return to service program. But the skills issues are still an issue, and we continue to invest in just developing people, particularly the technical, supervisory skills, managerial skills throughout the company. Mm-hmm. So it's still a big challenge for us. There was a question around 50% local employment and how many people from foreign countries, foreign employees. We have on this slide, we have given our own profile of our own staff. So on page 129, this is Eskom own staff. I think we have foreign nationals there as well for the different levels, so there's an indication. But on our construction programs, one example, for instance, Madupi, we have over 12,000 people working there. The majority of them are from the local community. And at Madupi, we have less than 1,000 people that is foreign. So it is less than 10% of the staff is foreign. So majority of the work that's currently taking place on Eskom projects are, from that perspective, done by South Africans.
The 10% portion or so that is important to me to be is for the specialized skills of coded welders, which the country is actually in shortage of. And there I think the members will ask the question of, so what are we doing about it? Just over a month ago, we launched the specialized welding school at our Midrand campus. It was launched by the Minister of Public Enterprises, and that school will train 150 specialized welders every year, and we're looking at how to expand its capacity to accelerate the process of generating enough for the country. We're working with our big suppliers as well within our procurement chain, so that they themselves can also increase the level of training opportunities in that, so the country can be self-sufficient. But the issue of specialized welders is one that has been bedeviling this country for quite a number of years, including in the oil and gas sector. So we're building capacity that will be used by ourselves and also for the rest of the country.
I'm not opening dialogue, please. I want, but if Mr. Dames could, I'm drawing your attention back to page 220. I have to be schooled here, Jefferson, so that when I go back clear. When you say that bullet point on generation capacity is not skills related, one had to be, you know, schooled, because to ten, yeah, that bullet point on generation capacity.
Chair, I am one person who last year, you will remember, when we were talking of the problems at Mutuki, where I was so emphatic that let's focus on in-house, meaning within South Africa. And you as Eskom will say, there are skills challenges which make you draw skills from outside the country. And when I read those challenges, at the back of my mind had that these could be skills related. I wonder if you can.
I think Dan has dealt with the skill challenge, but let me deal with these two specific issues for the member. Grootvlei Unit 5, Grootvlei is an old power station. The issue on Grootvlei Unit 5 had to do with the fact that the boiler was in a very bad condition. So the boiler had a lot more work that was required in terms of replacing the boiler tubes than what we predicted. These are units that's been standing for more than 15, 20 years. And in terms of original estimate and the amount of work that needed to be done, it's just a lot more work. So that is the issue around that. The issue around Komati Unit 4. Komati Unit 4 had a failure of the turbine, the high-pressure turbine. The high-pressure turbine on that unit, Komati is different to other power stations. Komati is the one station where we have various manufacturers doing various components. This specific turbine, I speak under correction, is actually a Siemens turbine. And this rotor, what we do is we take it out, we look at the condition, and we then assess, do we buy a new one or do we use the existing one and refurbish it? This one was actually refurbished by Siemens. And when we ran the rotor, there was a fault in the rotor. It's a big space of steel, and there was a fault, and there was a problem with the rotor. The rotor failed. And this was a problem with the refurbisher. We had to make a new one. Refurbish it. I think it was actually done overseas. It was not done in South Africa, because we had to send a lot of this equipment overseas in order to get it refurbished. I think that's the two issues with Komati.
I think, Chair, if, without you know belaboring this point, the members' concerns in that area are quite drawing us to a very important matter. The return to service stations was really going back to stations that have been parked and left in a state where conditions were not being monitored and remained unknown for many, many years. So when you're going back to doing engineering work in that kind of space, a lot of other work scope issues creep up in the process. We are in the business doing almost a post-implementation review now to say what could we have done differently or what will we completely not do again, given where it was. But the challenges in the country were such that we needed to get some of the stations back and running. Very few reference cases across the world in this area. So, and hence the nature of some of the challenges emerging there shows you know, the vulnerability coming from the lack of knowing the conditions around the place.
And I must say, I mean, the issues around skills is an issue, as I said. I mean, it's something that we're all concerned about. So hopefully that has helped. And if the members are in chair, if at some stage you would like to visit our stations and look at these things, you're very welcome. Let us know, and we can actually show you someone. Let's speak to the people, and then we'll certainly do that. Chair, there was a question from the memo on slide 19 around reference to what our spokesperson said around bonuses and myself has said. I think the reference is correct because we really have added to our, as I said, making sure the light stays on for us means low load shedding in the country, you know, keeping the lights on. And from that matter, also making sure that the efficiencies are there, and that we have achieved. And certainly the shareholder compact plays a role in executives. I can assure you in the new year that we've just finished, the past year, we have been able to achieve all the shareholders' targets that they've set and exceeded all of them. So all of that has been taken into account in terms of what has been shared.
The generation capacity referred to in the score shareholder card at the top is actually the installation of new megawatts onto the system. That talks to the completion of programs like Medupi, Hoot Flint, Komati, you're talking about where we're releasing units on a gradual basis. And going forth, it includes the coming online of units from Medupi and Kusile at the later stages. So. And the keeping the lights generation capacity talking about is the ability of our existing stations to be able to provide electricity on a need basis to meet the demands and so on. And that's the gatekeeper that sits in the evaluation of the entire organization, not only for the executives, but actually for the organization, okay. The entire organization as a whole, because we do that collectively as 41,000 employees.
Just in terms of the questions around from the member around the price increases, I think I have dealt with that. We're busy with our preparation in terms of the future increases. All the profits that we generate, all are invested back in the company. Actually, profits in terms of incentive for all of us, including staff, plays no role in any incentive scheme. Profits plays no role. We only look at our ability to make sure that we meet the objectives that the shareholders set for us. Make sure the light stays on, make sure we become increasingly efficient. So all the profits are reinvested back in the company. We look quite hard at the cash position because, as you can see in the cash flow, we don't generate enough profit to pay back our current debt and our interest on an annual basis. So we pay quite close attention to cash flow rather than the profits from our perspective. The energy losses, maybe Louis can talk about our controller on energy losses and multiple dwellers, which I think is a municipal issue.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. The energy losses, we have two paths to it. The one is the people that are tapping on our, bridging our meters, in other words, stealing from Eskom. And as I said, in terms of the justice system, this is not taking a serious crime. And the onus is on us to continually prove that we are doing something about it. We have established a joint committee, multidisciplinary committee, with the SEPs as well as SNDF to deal with some of these issues. The second part of it is obviously the illegal connections that are probably you see in the winter time, where our infrastructure is overburdened because the people that are not in our system are just pulling more than what is required from our system. And then we also have that Izinyoga as well as the Operation Kaniza program is dealing with that. And as I said, probably there's more work to be done from a community point of view and support from all different authorities to assist us on this matter. It is a challenge, it is continually being a challenge, but I think the key lies in electrification as well as the operations by the communities themselves within the metro. But within ESCOM, we do have established units that deals with it.
Chair, I'm going to ask Dan to just deal with the water issues from Udupi and then the coal quality, the export.
Chair, I'll start with the issue of the coal quality for both Medupi and Kusile. Both stations have encompassed the latest technological advances to allow us to exploit lower quality coal resources, but also to burn in a nature that reduces the amount of emissions that comes out of it, compounded with the additional capability for flue gas desulfurization, which is a technology to clean up and scrub up the effluent before you release it to the air so that it can remain environmentally within the limits that are increasingly becoming stringent as you go forth. So the stations are designed to use most of the coal that otherwise would be difficult to burn. On the issue of exporting high-quality coal versus using low-grade coal back home, we have been quite vociferous on this issue around the need to have a balanced approach from a country perspective in as far as using the mineral resources for efficient power generation. I think also in the reports you'll see how we have alluded to unutilized capability simply because the coal quality is not up to specification, and I've asked at different forums with different stakeholders that we really look carefully at how we balance the need to earn foreign revenues versus becoming efficient at home, and our position has been well articulated. It's clear we are comfortable that the respective ministries are working on trying to find the balance that will be in the best of the country overall in the space. But we have placed more emphasis on the quality of coal that we buy. So we pre-certify coal, we do not load up coal that is not up to the specifications we want if it's not there, and we get into tough conversations with our suppliers in the distance, but we also reward them for moving towards better coal qualities and so on. And as far as the Medupi water is concerned, I think one of our biggest issues coming in the country is not so much about coal availability, it's water availability in our business. And we have begun in very creative forums around intensive water users to highlight this issue. For Mokolokoko, for Medupi, there is a program run by the Department of Water Affairs with TCT as implementation agents for the expansion of the Mokolo River in that area. It is a very strategic program now, Chair. It falls within the presidential infrastructure programs of unlocking the northern province's mineral belts, interlinked with the value derivation from the coal mining sector. We are working through those phases, and it is from those programs we'll have additional water. And we have looked at water requirements not only for ourselves, but to unlock the potential of mining and the resultant job creations in the province there as well.
Chair, around municipal debt, how are we dealing with that? We have quite a strong engagement with the municipality as well as the premiers in the different provinces. We've received very good support from that perspective. The municipalities are getting the equitable share from government, and then we see from that perspective that the debt from our side is being addressed. But we do have a clear process and structure as to how we deal with that, and we have good support from all the premiers throughout the country in that regard. There was a question around specific skill development, welding. I think we have dealt with that. We have re-established welding ourselves. Similarly, there's a power engineering institute, project management capability as well in Eskom now. The future of nuclear. The future of nuclear is captured within government's integrated resource plan, and so government has got that included, and I guess within the next few months, government will make the necessary announcements as to the future of nuclear in South Africa. Chair, the last set of questions is what you've asked us. You've asked us questions around transmission lines. We still have the fundamental issues around land and right in on servitudes for transmission. It is something that we're working, we're getting very strong support from our minister as to how we deal with expropriation, if necessary, of land, because it does take a long time. For us to build the line from here to Johannesburg takes quite a long time, across 1,500 kilometers of private land. So it's still an issue, and we are working with government to find ways of dealing with it. Last year we were tasked to do 600 kilometers. We've managed to do more than 600 last year, but it's still an issue. So you make quite a valid point around industries. There is quite an active program in industries. The Minister of Public Enterprises, particularly in terms of government buildings, has now brought government together to look at how do we, with public works, how do we look at government buildings and energy efficiency and building lights being on. But with large industry, we have quite a strong a program from that perspective. On the communication, Chair, we have strengthened our structures in the provincial, in the provinces. We've appointed the senior manager in East Province. We have now engaged with mayors and premiers to show the electrification footprint in our communities. Currently, as Eskom, we actually don't decide where to electrify. We assign that responsibility by government. But you're correct as to how do we find a better way of communication. So Louis and distribution, maybe we should just pick that up as to how do we communicate and show the boundaries and show when are we going to bring electricity to the different parts of our communities. And we can give you some, we can give you the details. We can give you per province the electrification plan going forward.
I think that will really assist us a great deal, because when we go to our constituents, we will be having that information in our bags. Yes.
Thanks, sir. If from a government point of view,
as I thought,
that's when we should finish, and I'll just touch on some few points. I think with the parents,
perhaps as a second point of saying, and not as common tends to get lambasted, but I think the committee ought to always keep in mind that, as I think as Dan alluded on the on some of the welding stuff, it's not your ordinary welder that you get from the street. On some of the skills that we actually require for the build program are extremely specialized, but I think they've tried so much today to maintain that balance, and I think they've engaged the shareholder when they've reached the critical points. Because I think we've also not allowed them to willy-nilly just import skills, but I think they've actually taken us along on that.
Pardon?
About the skills, because I think there was an issue around the skills, and I think they believe at the point. But I'm saying they didn't just go and get skills without engaging the shareholder, but actually when they reached the critical skills point and we said there's no skills, they actually came in and engaged the shareholder and said, how do we address this? There's a need for us to get foreign skills, and how do we move forward from that point?
Because I think people just tend to think at times it's
your ordinary world, but it's your ordinary skills. But I think that context needs to be appreciated.
But I think also to say, I think as they've alluded, there's the welding school, there's the Institute of ESCOM, Institute of EIP,
which I think ESCOM is trying to implement to actually build that skill. It's one of the compact issues actually that we are asking them to build up on it. So I think just to give members a sense of comfort that we, from a shareholder point of view, actually asking them to do quite a bit to make sure that we have some of the skills as we go forward, not just ESCOM, but I think across all SOCs.
I think that's on the skills one. I think the compact and the management, senior management remuneration, I thought I should also comment on that. To say, I think Ryan just talked about the 2011-12 compact, but I think the renegotiation of the compact going forward is also to try and address some of the comments and align it more further. I think it has been aligned, but we are trying to even get a more alignment in terms of senior remuneration and the targets. And I know we didn't really have, we thought we made some enemies in the negotiation of the contract going forward. So saying we really take that serious, and it's not a, I know we see some red and some amber, but we really take that very serious. So I think just to give members a sense of comfort of saying, from a shareholder point of view, we take that very serious, and we are actually stretching the targets as we set them for, as we agree, the minister agrees.
issues with ESCOM around those. Yeah.
I think the profits one as well, where it was talked about the profits and profits going to bonuses. I think maybe that's, I think Brian talked about that. There's still a lot of work in terms of the, financing the projects going forward. And one, I think members ought to keep in mind that there's still a second phase of the RP that needs to be implemented and that needs to be financed. And the idea is that ESCOM should be able to finance part of that as part of their own, from their own revenues, and borrow as little. I think Brian alluded to the fact that some of the borrowings are actually long-term, beyond our 40, 50 years borrowings. So I think when we look at profits or perceived profits, they always should keep that in mind, that we are talking a longer term. And
thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for the explanation, for the addition. You've added to what was already being explained, but we really thank you, appreciate that. Actually, why I'm doing this, we don't really have enough time anymore. But if maybe at times when these entities come to the committee, you come with them, or maybe you see us first as members, then that will also assist. Members, I think we have come to the end. We've been listening to the presentation and the responses. Now I've got the report in front of us before I thank ESCOM. The report of the Select Committee on Labour and Public Enterprises on the report and financial statement of ESCOM Holdings for 2010-2011, including the report of the independent auditors on the financial statements and performance information for 2010-2011, dated 9th May 2012. The Select Committee on Labour and Public Enterprises, having considered the report and financial statement of ESCOM Holdings Limited for 2010-2011, including the report of the independent auditors on the financial statement and performance information for 2010-2011, referred to it, reports that it has concluded that its deliberations thereon. Are we agreed? With the information, Mr. Dames, that is still going to come to assist us to have this working as a working document in our constituents. Agreed, members?
Chairperson, we agreed.
Thank you. Going to sign on your behalf. Thank you very much, ESCOM. Thank you very much, Mr. Dames. Who's then going to, as usual? I would like to thank ESCOM. Ndwan. Oh, Honorable Zulu. Okay. It was really very nice to meet you, Mr. Dames, and your team, and we're looking forward to working with you in the provinces, as I said. Please send us the program of this 49M so that members can show up every now and then. And we, even Operation Kanyisa, when we were in Mpumalanga, we saw that it's doing a very good job. And thank you very much. And you're free to go. Members, we remember on the 2nd of May, we had denied the report of the Select Committee on Labour and Labour and Public Enterprises on the report and financial statement of DINEL Pty Limited for 2010-2011, including the report of the independent auditors on the financial statement and performance information for 2010-2011, dated 2nd May 2012. The Select Committee on Labour and Public Enterprises, having considered the report and financial statement of DINEL Pitua Limited 2010-11, including the report of the independent auditors on the financial statement and performance information for 2011-2012. For 2010-2011, referred to it reports that it has concluded its deliberations thereon. Thank you. Agreed.
Yes.
Who's adopted? Okay. Thank you. Honorable members, we've got the minutes in front of us, the minutes of the second. 25th. Thanks for reminding me. Where are they? I understand you were giving the minutes yesterday.
Two things. Then I move.
All right.
The first one. 25 April. The first one, Chair, is on page 4.
Page 4, yes.
Second paragraph.
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah.
You are not there?
I'm there, yes.
Sure. Page 4, second paragraph. The first sentence there.
Yes.
I propose that we delete. It was proposed that the sentence starts as the panel. The reason being that, Chair, if now you read that sentence, it's like it was our meeting which was proposing.
Yeah, we're finishing now. It's just a minute.
So if now you delete that, it becomes clear.
Page 4, delete, it was proposed.
That. And
that.
The sentence starts with
the
panel. Yes.
Then
you go to page 6. Page 6, it's what paragraph is this one? Let me say it's the third paragraph. Mm-hmm. The committee felt that the problem was with ICASA Act. Blah, 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 blah. After that sentence, Chair, I have not constructed a sentence, but I propose that we insert a sentence which is vindicating ICASA. A sentence which clarifies that the problem was not with ICASA. Remember, we even apologized to ICASA. I feel that should show.
Yeah.
Lodi will see how best to craft it. Otherwise, with the rest, I'm fine, Chair, and I move for adoption with amendments.
Okay. Move with page 6 with amendment. Thank you very much. And we can we go to the minutes of the second? 16.
Of the
16th. You have two?
No, 16, I think it is. 25.
Okay. Second May?
Next week,
we are not there. Honorable members? Huh? Second May. No, but did we read the minutes? Page 3. Listen. Okay. Mr. Simandes is moving for adoption. And honorable. Honorable Grunewald, second. Thank you, honorable members. The meeting stands adjourned. Next week we're meeting with
Chair, Mama, go is the off record.
set the rules, remember, around the presence of the setup from political parties. I suggest that we allow to have the card just like me. They assist us. One way
or the other,
why not
get
back and make like me? Not like me.
I'm done.
No, I can see.
Why?
You think it's a grand?
This
was one record.
I'm thinking on what you're
on
the phone.
The venue is going to change another one again. No, okay. Are you staying in your office? You're not going anywhere else, eh? No, Russian. Look, I'm still having this vote. They have to cut the screen and pay information. They say it takes some of your eyes.
Let me also take mine now.
Then when I'm back, look, where are you taking it?
No.
I'll show you. Who? No, don't let me go. Come there. No.
I'm going to leave mine there.
I hate one on one.